Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, friends, it's almost 70 degrees here today. It's almost unreal. However, we've got a big surprise coming Sunday. I don't think you people know it, but I think we're going to have a snowstorm. Anyway, that's okay. As long as it's snow, don't keep me housebound, I'm okay. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of hot coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, here's our thought for the day. No one is saved by buying a Bible he does not use, nor is one saved by reading a Bible he does not obey. Tonight we're going to speak on the Bible and the battle. And I'm reading in Matthew's fourth chapter, the first verse. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy temple, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in these hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, If it is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give you, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Every Christian is in a spiritual war. And, of course, our adversary is the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Friends, listen. Salvation does not deliver us from this battle. However, it does equip us to win. Now, temptation is a daily part of this war. This is hand-to-hand conflict. The Bible in the hand and heart assures victory. Now, how Jesus used the Bible when tempted. Text, he used to overcome the enemy. Oh, how appropriate these were for the conflict. Well, let's read verse 1 and 4 again. Then Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Friends, listen to me. You remember, in any time Satan can get you and I to doubt the word of God, well, he's got a victory over us. And he'll do it. Oh, my stars, you bet he'll do it. Man shall not live by bread alone. Well, Jesus was hungry. He had fasted 40 days and nights, and that tempter comes when we're weak. Command that these stones be made bread. Jesus could have done that, but he didn't. This was well within Christ's power. Never, never, never follow Satan's suggestions. Reject them even when they sound good. Jesus answered the tempter with Scripture. Verse 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then we're told in Deuteronomy 8:3, And he humbled thee and suffered thee and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that make thee known that man doth not live by bread only, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man have. Well, we need more than bread in this battle. God's word is to be our daily food. Friends, that's why I always tell people after I introduce them to Christ, please get in the Word of God immediately, because I want you to know that is where you get your strength. You know, the first few years of my life, because I didn't get to go to seminary, I studied, I pondered, I prayed, I asked questions. I wanted to know more about God. Well, little did I know that God is preparing me to be a preacher. Who in the world would want to hear Cecil Moe preach? Not me. But God had a plan. That song they wrote, God has a plan and is a good one. Oh, I'm so glad that I told him that I would. And I told him I couldn't do it without him. I could not do it. But anyway, that's what's been going on the last 55 years. We can defeat Satan with the Scripture. He can't stand against the Scripture. Remember when Satan had told God, well, you know, old Job, the only reason he likes you is because you made him a wealthy man, and he's got lots of family and animals and stuff. Well, God knew better than that. Well, he said, I'll accept that challenge. So he went to work, killed his children, killed his animals, gave him a bad case of the boils. And then his foolish wife said, Why don't you curse God and die? Well, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Bible becomes our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, you remember that. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 7. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Tipping on the pinnacle of the temple. Oh, listen, friends, many temptations come in religious places. We're most vulnerable when in high places. Satan now begins to quote scriptures. And yes, he does. He certainly does. And he said, Such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, For Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Yes, there are many pastors who are false prophets in the pulpits today, and people don't recognize it. You know, people have got the devil pictured in horns in a red suit. No. He is a very good-looking person, and he can work in preachers. Well, I know many times, and don't tell me there isn't a Satan. Years ago, I was making a tape from a radio broadcast, and right smack in the middle of that broadcast, that tape flipped right over. Now, what did that? Well, it sure wasn't me. It was the devil, and he didn't want me to preach that message. And sometimes we preach message, and we wonder, well, is this what God wants? Hey, if we're preaching messages that God doesn't want, he's not going to anoint it. He's not going to bless it. And I've said so many times, I am not a very great orator, never will be. But I do the best I can with what I got. He's given me more than one talent. That's what when you're saved, that's all you get is one talent. But boy, howdy, the more you work for him, the more talents he gives you. Now it tells us in Deuteronomy 6:16, ye shall not tempt our Lord as ye tempted him in Massah. Well, listen. Some things that tempt God. Well, for one thing, I'll tell you. And listen to this. Complaining about his provisions. Exodus 7:7. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spoke unto Pharaoh. You know, Moses, I love to talk about Moses, because his mother loved him so much that she put her life on the line and saved him as a baby and put him in the bulrushes. And Pharaoh's daughter got a hold of him. And what did she do? She went down and she said, well, I can nurse the baby. I have milk. I can nurse the baby. And they never caught on. You know, God is a lot brighter than we think he is. No, I know how bright he is, but he does things sometimes that we just have to say, "Ooh, he's an awesome God." Now, not trusting God to keep his promises. Numbers 14:22. Because of these men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, I have tempted me now these 10 times, I have not hearkened to my voice, and have not hearkened to my voice. Friends, listen to me. God does not lie. Now, I've read scriptures that would seemingly be kind of contradictory, but they're not. If you read them, you read the scripture ahead of them, you read the scripture behind them, and you read the scripture in between. And anytime you don't know the answer, which many times I sure don't, and even still today I don't, but if we will trust him, if we'll pray, if we'll ask the Lord to show us, he absolutely would. I remember as a young baby Christian, I went to a meeting, and this multimillionaire was speaking this night. He owned one of the biggest boat companies in the world, and they were in Florida. And he said, you know, I travel around the world. I'm on airplanes most of the time. And one day he said, I was complaining to the Lord. He said, you know what? I absolutely do not have enough time. So, Lord, give me some more time so I can take time to study your word. I know I have to sell boats, but I want to live for you and love you. Well, he said, gentlemen, do not pray for patience. He said, I ended up flat on my back in a hospital for one solid year. Oh, my stars, did I have time to read the Bible in? We've got to quit complaining about his provisions. Thank God for what you have and not for what you want. Because sometimes the things we want is not good for us. You know it and I know it. And a lot of people don't trust God to keep his promises. But he does. You show me in the Bible where he says that you can't trust him. Well, you can't. And then there's those who's doubting God's power in Psalm 78:41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. You know something? First thing I learned as a baby Christian, that's this, that God can do anything. There is nothing, absolutely nothing impossible for those who believe him. I want to ask you, well, another thing before I ask this next question, hardening our hearts when he speaks. Hebrews 3:9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my words 40 years. I want you to know, friends, I've thought about this many, many times. When God spoke to Moses in the burning bush out there in the desert and told him exactly what he wanted for him to do. Moses immediately threw up an excuse. Well, I can't do that. I can't do this. And God said, yes, you can. Well, all right, he said, I'll give you a mouth. I'll give you Aaron. I don't think Aaron had a chance to open his mouth after they got started. Because when they went down there, Moses went with fear and trembling. Yes, he did. Because he'd killed some men down there, and he was afraid they were going to get a hold of him. Well, anyway, when they started up through that holy land or go stand that wet in the wilderness, I do not understand how they could have done it. I don't know how many thousands of people was in that group. What would the no water to speak of? No food to speak of? It was hot, so he would furnish a cloud, and he'd give them the sunlight. He'd give them water, gave them meat. And finally, Moses was worn to a nub. And his father-in-law came and said, Moses, we got to have a little talk. He said, Moses, you're taking all this on yourself, and it's more than anyone can bear. So here's what I suggest you do. Take a leader in every of the 12 tribes, one leader in the 12 tribes, and let them take care of the little stuff. But you take care of the weightier matter. And you know what? It worked out beautiful. But they were on that poor guy Moses' back day and night. You remember when he went up to get the Ten Commandments? Those people got impatient. Oh, yeah. So they decided he's killed. And they want to go ahead and build a calf that they could see and worship. Do you have to have a golden calf to worship to believe that Jesus Christ loves you and come in the world to die for you? Oh, listen. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan offers the world if Jesus would worship him. But he said, get thee hence, Satan. Oh, I'm so glad that he didn't yield. Well, if he did, he could have been the Son of God, could he? The first time this proceeds, it is written. Worshiping Satan is reprehensible to Christ. Many worship people and things rather than the Lord. What do you have in your life that's more important than the Lord? You know, when I was in the roofing business, the first thing I tried to do was make money. Of course I did. I'd be foolish if I didn't. And we bought new trucks and new equipment and hired many men. And we traveled a couple of different states to do work, even to Montana. But my first goal was to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, I couldn't do that. Because I'm not a beggar. I don't go out and beg money and solicit money. Well, I know preachers do, and I know TV programs, they beg for money. but I trusted the Lord to supply my needs because He said He would. He sure did. And so, how'd I go to Japan? How'd I go to the Caribbean? How'd I go to Mexico? How'd I go to Alaska and Canada and all these places to preach? Through my business that God Almighty trusted me with. Oh, and my wife and my two daughters and my three sons were in charge, although I did have a full-blooded Indian chief superintendent. But they worked hard so that I could go preach. And when the time came in my life when I felt that I should get out of the roofing business and start another road, I did it. But to God be the glory and the praise. He supplied our needs through Christ Jesus in glory. Friends, can He trust you with a dollar? Can He trust you that you would go every Sunday and go in there and give your tithe so that the pastor can preach, if he's preaching, and missionaries and churches? We have to have money. That's why it's begging money. I don't like that. You know, I got a big Presbyterian church in Florida. Fine people. And they called me one day and they said they needed a couple $100 or something. Whatever. So I sent it to them. And boy, howdy, I regretted that. I mean, they were on my tail. They were calling me. They were writing me letters. Finally, I said, "Don't you people read the Bible? My God shall supply all your needs. Quit begging and start preaching. Start going, telling." Ooh. The Lord should have all of our worship and service. Who do you worship tonight? And I ask you, who do you serve? Are you struggling with temptations? Well, take the Bible into the battle. You need it. The sword of the Spirit will bring victory every time. Friends, you know, you've heard me so many times complain about what the churches are doing. Now listen, I don't have to answer for your preacher. I don't have to answer for your church. If you're not doing God's will, you will answer to God. And so will I. I'll have to answer to God with what I preach. And if I don't preach Jesus Christ, He should take me out and knock me in the head. Because that's the only way that you will ever get into heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh the Father but by me." Friends, listen. Tonight I'd like to give a special invitation to those of you who don't know Jesus, or for those who know Jesus is not doing anything for Him. If you don't know Jesus and you get it tugging at your heart right now, please bow your head with me and pray this powerful prayer. "Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. God, I'm sorry that I've sinned. I'm sorry for what I did to You and what I've done to my family and my loved ones. I'm sorry that I'm a drunk or I'm a drug addict or I'm a homosexual or a lesbian. Tonight, Lord, I'm turning it all over to You, and I'm inviting Jesus into my heart to save me for Jesus' sake. Amen." If you prayed that prayer, you get on the phone and you call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. And I will not write and ask you for money or call you. If you can't afford this call, call collect. Don't care where you go to church. Friend, I'm concerned in you. Yes, I am. If you don't believe me, call me. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear friends, for listening. I pray that we said something that encouraged your heart. Oh, come to Jesus tonight. If you're backslidden, come and repent. Tell him you're sorry for your sins. Confess him, and he'll be faithful and just to forgive all your sins. Pray for me and my wife as we work in prisons and we work here in Denver. Pray that God will give us enough health so we can get out and about. Sometimes at 86, it's pretty hard to get around, but I'm not complaining. No. I'm thankful that I'm able to walk and not in a rest home right now. Not that rest homes are so terrible bad, but I'm glad I still can live at home. Well, listen, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.